Thanks for everybody attending. People coming in the back right now, if you want to come all the way to the front, that way we can accommodate some people walking in a little bit late. Our last speaker for this morning's portion of this session, which will continue after lunch, is Cassandra, and she'll be presenting on soybean planting dates and plant populations at the Northern Frontier. Thanks, Cassandra.
Good morning, everybody. As said, my name is Cassandra Konchik. I'm a master's student with Dr. Yvonne Lawley at the University of Manitoba, and today I'll be talking to you about my project on soybean planting dates and plant populations at what we like to call the Northern Frontier. So to give you a brief overview of what I'm going to talk about today, I'm first going to touch on the soybean expansion in the Northern Frontier, which is Manitoba and North Dakota, talk a little bit about the concern over soybean seeding rates and economic return. And then I'll jump right into the experiment objectives methodology and a few results which involve yield response to soybean population and economic optimum seeding rates or plant populations, followed by a few next steps. So to give you a visual of the expansion of soybean acres in the Northern Frontier, this is a graph of the acre increase in Manitoba over the past decade. And as you can see, it's pretty dramatic. So this means there are a lot of new soybean growers in a lot of new soybean areas, partially fueled by the availability of earlier maturing varieties for these different areas. And the same thing is happening in North Dakota with this large increase over the past few years, making North Dakota now the number one, as of 2014, the number four soybean producer in the U.S. So why revisit seeding rates now? Well, the main thing is that optimal seeding rates vary among locations. And as there are new soybean growing areas, this has to be done on a site-specific basis. And what farmers are currently doing in our area is increasing and decreasing their seeding rates to optimize their production or economic return. So they may potentially be targeting populations that are higher than necessary, with the potential of additional seed costs offsetting yield increases from higher populations. And overall, seed costs have increased overall. So there's an importance to emphasize the economic return rather than simply yield maximization to identify where the point in which costs begin to exceed the revenue for these different growing areas. So to jump right into my experiment objectives, the first one is to observe the relationship between plant density and yield. The second, to determine the economic optimum seeding rate for different planting windows. And the third, to determine the replanting threshold, if any, for these regions. And for today's talk, I'm going to focus on 1 and 2. So this experiment was located at the Ian N. Morrison Research Farm in Carmen, Manitoba, as well as collaborating with Mike Ostley at the Carrington Research Extension Center in Carrington, North Dakota. 1 and 2 on the map. And they're about 5 hours apart, so this encompasses a larger area of that northern frontier. So there's quite a bit going on in these tables, but what I really want you to know is that the experiment was set up as a split plot design, with planting date as the main plot and target plant populations as the subplot, randomized within each main plot. And I showed it like this because the treatment design happened to vary across both years and both sites. So in Carmen in 2014, we had an ideal and a late seeding date. And in 2015, an early spring allowed us to add that early planting date as well. And then in Carrington 2014, we had an ideal planting date and two late dates with the addition of that early date as well in 2015. And in Carrington, there were 5 target populations seeded from 80,000 to 200,000 plants per acre. And in Carmen, we had all 6 of these populations targeted. This experiment was also replicated 4 times, and for the results, I'll be focusing on Carmen 2014-2015 and only Carrington 2014. So a few of the methods with this experiment, we grew DeKalb 2410 RY in Carmen and Dairyland Seeds 0404 in Carrington, and these are both commonly grown varieties in the areas. Small plots were used for this experiment with plot sizes slightly larger in Carrington. And they both had a row spacing of 14 inches. And the mortality at both sites that we assumed for calculating our seeding rates in the spring was 20%. So a wide variety of measurements were taken for this experiment, including interesting things like stem branching and lowest pod height, as well as some seed quality parameters. But for today's talk, I'm just going to focus on plant populations and yield. So to jump right into my yield response to soybean population results, starting with Carmen 2014, I have yields on the y-axis in kgs per hectare and plant population in 1,000 plants per hectare on the x-axis. And what these data points are is they are actual populations that were measured in season, with the circles and the green line representing the ideal planting date, and the triangles and blue line representing the late planting date. So what we did with this data was nonlinear regression to test a few different models. And after testing a few different models, we determined that the exponential model had the highest significance to fit this data, which is represented by this equation here. And I just want to point out that this constant right here represents the asymptotic maximum, or the point in which yield is maximized. And this constant right here is the responsiveness of yield as plant population increases. And the x component right here is plant population plugged into that equation. So the main things to note from this graph is that yield increases exponentially with plant population until it reaches this plateau at which this point occurs. And it's also important to note that the ideal planting date yielded much higher than the late planting date, as you can see between the two lines. And then to go over to Carmen 2015, you can see that third line added for the early planting date. They also fit the exponential model significantly. And you can see here that for the first two planting dates, they have very similar yield maximums, which is kind of interesting looking at the spread between the first two planting dates, which are May 4th and May 22nd. And then this late planting date really lags behind and yields much lower compared to the first two. And then finally, Carrington 2014, a similar graph we see, but overall, I want to first point out that Carrington has a higher yield potential. It's a higher yielding area overall, so the yield maximums are much higher. But also, we only reached a plateau for the ideal planting date at this location in this site year. And for some reason, it's not plateauing for the second planting date, but we do have an identified yield maximum. So now that we've identified these maximum yields, the next step in our minds was to identify this economic return point to identify where seed cost would exceed revenue. So in order to do this, we calculated cost and revenue functions, which you can see plotted here on the graph using the ideal planting date in Carmen 2015 just as an example. But revenue was calculated equal to yield by the commercial price, and cost was equal to seeding rate times the seed cost. And in order to do these calculations, we had to make a few assumptions, which are preliminary assumptions, I should add. But we assumed an average mortality calculated for each planting date. So this would range from 12 to 22%. We assumed a commercial price of $10 per bushel, as well as an assumed seed cost of 36 cents per 1,000 seeds, which was calculated from $50 per unit, which includes only seed plus technical use agreements. So as you can see, these are just assumptions. And the next step with this was to calculate marginal revenue and cost. And when plotted on a graph, which is also for the ideal planting date in Carmen in 2015, it's the intersection point between these two lines that economic optimum plant population is identified. So to show you what this looks like for the Carmen 2015 site, this is where they land. So we have the economic optimum plant populations for the early and ideal planting dates fairly close to each other at about 314,000 plants per hectare and 330,000 plants per hectare, with this late planting date, where the economic optimum for the late planting date occurs at a higher population of around 330,000 plants. Oh, I actually wrote that in wrong. I apologize. It should be around 439,000 plants per hectare. So that higher plant population required for the late planting date actually mimics how farmers might increase their seeding rates for later planting dates. As well as the early two planting dates showing that farmers are trying to seed earlier despite the risk of frost. So in summary, we identified significant exponential relationships between plant density and yield for all planting windows, with yield plateaus in a higher range for the earlier planting dates compared to the late. So we can honestly say that soybean planting at a late date had a yield penalty. And here I have the actual late economic optimum plant population at 440,000 plants per hectare. And what these values translate to are about 127,000 plants per acre in, for the early date, 133,000 for the ideal, and about 178,000 for the late. So these are much lower than what farmers would want to be targeting. So it's important to note that the Carmen 2015 site had a fairly ideal growing season, and that farmers should also consider their other agronomic considerations when targeting their populations, such as weed competition. And overall, these Carmen 2015 results support higher seeding rates for later planting. And a few next steps for this experiment would be to conduct a sensitivity analysis to test our assumptions in the economic calculations, and for future work to evaluate planting dates and seeding rates in other new soybean production areas of Manitoba, as well as evaluating for new early maturing varieties. And with that, I'd like to thank my main funder for this experiment, which is the North Dakota Soybean Council, my supervisor, Dr. Yvonne Lally, as well as my committee and technicians, summer students, fellow grad students.
Question for our speaker.
Yes, I have a question and a comment. First of all, are they using any ridge tilling or twin rows in it?
Sorry, could you repeat the first part?
Ridge tilling.
Ridge tilling?
Right. Building ridges and then planting on top of that.
I don't believe that is what we are doing. We did one tillage pass in the spring, and we simply seeded into that.
The other thing, twin row production. Is that being practiced?
Twin row production, that is not something that we are doing with this study.
This is something for you to think about maybe, or your advice to think about future work. I come from the opposite end, the deep south. Virtually all soybeans, all row crops are being grown with twin rows. With soybeans, we are seeing between 2.5 to 5 bushel an acre in increase, if you'll allow me to talk about this. The growers are saying, okay, with that little possibility of increase, I pay for my planter, and everything's fine for it. The ridge tilling came about as a result of growing cotton. And the reason that they started doing ridge tilling a long time ago was to try to warm that soil profile, the planting bed, earlier and be able to get the crop come up. Cotton's extremely sensitive. Well, all of that is carried over in all the other crops. Plus, we use furrow irrigation. But the temperature thing was what first came about, because cotton is super sensitive to cool temperatures. It will not come up with an arm. I have trouble with stands anyway. But this is used in soybean, corn, whole bit. Where you're located, it might be something worth looking into and considering. Maybe getting a little bit of a earlier starting date on your plant. Because I know your growing season is extremely short.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for the idea.
Question in the back.
Did you say injections? We actually did not use any fertilizer in this study. We simply used, it was grown after wheat in rotation, and we inoculated the seed. So it was liquid and granular inoculated. So I'm not sure if I could really comment on the fertility aspect of that study. Yeah, that would have potential to increase populations.
So earlier we heard talk about no-till and tillage in the northern frontier, and what looked like your plot had tillage, as you said. So how would your optimal plant population change if they were to go back to the no-till system? Because everything you've shown is a tillage system, one spring pass. So So what would be the optimum in your mind? Would it go up, down, indifferent?
I guess maybe that might be a question more directed for Greg Bartley, but I don't know. Based on his results with the disking and the no-till similarity, maybe they wouldn't change a whole lot, especially at this Carmen site, which has fairly ideal growing conditions.
I have a question as well. How much, you assumed 20% mortality. What was the measured difference between your actual seeding rate and what you got for final stands? What was the percentage due on some of the sites?
Well, in my last slide, I gave the range. So it ranged from 12, sorry, the question was what was the difference, the actual mortality difference between these the target population and the actual population, and it ranged from 12 to 22%. But overall, the mortality was much lower for the late planting date.
Okay. Thanks for your time this morning. Thanks.